Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser is back on the program today, fresh off a honeymoon in British Columbia. Nick Kieser, welcome back. How are we doing? What's going on?
I'm glad to be back.
Are you?
It was a long trip home.
Are you?
Yeah. Honestly, I am glad to be back. Okay. It was a lot to dissect from the wedding. Heard many perspectives yesterday from my parents.
Okay.
So that was fun. So thank
you. Did they say something to the effect of, boy, those two guys you work with, I'm not too sure about them.
I think my grandmother said something like that. Okay. I'm just joking. No, they had a great time. G-Ma, that's right.
Let's call her the correct name there, buddy.
Yeah,
let's
refer to
Look at you, Joe.
Yeah, I know the Kieser family well now.
Yeah. Well, the wedding was fun. We had some of our cake last night, too, by the way.
Good.
They saved some more, and we got
Take
in.
Take a face off before you went to sleep last night? Or
did not do that. What did you guys think about that? I thought that was a nice twist.
I told her that she should have cross-checked you in the teeth. That's
yes,
what I thought
I was there for that conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I liked it.
You're digging in.
I liked the Paul McCann, and then of course Nash was
that
Nash
had
was solid.
I had no idea that was happening.
And Nash crashing a wedding.
My photographer looked at me, and he had no idea what to do. He was so lost. He saw him come in, and he had no idea what the plan was moving.
I hope
forward.
You said take pictures.
Yeah,
what do I do? What do I do with my hands?
Yeah, it was fun.
Nash hung in there and like he was, you know, getting into like the line dancing and
yeah, he did.
Some stuff going on.
He did.
He hung out, man.
I think my mom has more photos with him than anybody else.
As she should.
Yeah. So, fun time at the Arlings. So they were awesome. Obviously, it was fun to see friends and family there. Thank you guys for being there.
You're welcome.
Tons of other people. Yeah, so glad to be back. Glad to be back for the summer, most importantly.
Yes.
I feel like my life is a little bit caught up.
For now,
we'll right? So lots of things to organize and order.
He's a married man.
All fun things back home now.
People say this all the time. It's a saying, but it's actually literally true for you. The honeymoon is over, man.
Yeah it is.
The honeymoon is over.
That's okay.
And it was literally a good use of the word literally by Rex.
Thank you.
It's good stuff.
Like I was literally dying to say that, you know? It was literally killing me to not be able to say that.
I'm sure that it was. Welcome back, Nick. It's good to have you back on the program here today.
Glad to be back.
We'll take your well
dramatic
wishes
pause
for Nick Kieser on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider will join us at 8 o'clock, and we'll get more into this in the 8 o'clock hour, Joe. But your initial thoughts on the super regional matchup for the Tennessee Volunteers. It is not East Carolina. It is not Wake Forest. It is Evansville coming out of that regional as the number 4 seed, and they will be taking on the Tennessee Volunteers in the super regional.
Yeah.
What a matchup.
Purple Aces. Good stuff. Good for them. Great story. There's very few 4 seeds that have made it to the Supers, but
you don't sound at all
well
excited.
I'm going to Knoxville. yeah, hey, you know what? I'll go to Knoxville, and then, and by the way, we still don't know if they start Friday or Saturday, which is super annoying.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
It's Tuesday morning. I mean, I talked to a parent of a Vols player last night who had a long flight home and now is about to fly back, but not sure what day. It's Tuesday. So, you know, this parent thinks it's going to be Saturday, by the way. So we'll see. Maybe they'll get the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But Wake Forest obviously was the dream with Chase Burns. That's the preseason number one team. Chase Burns coming back to Knoxville. They blow it. Okay. Well, at least the seeded East Carolina team, which is a great program. It's like one of the best programs to never get to Omaha is kind of the reputation of East Carolina. That would have been a legitimate super regional, and they blew it yesterday and lost to the Purple Aces.
They did.
So it's the Purple Aces. Like I said, this reminds me of, you know, it's like St. Peter's a couple years ago, like they shot Kentucky. Who'd they beat in the second round?
I don't remember.
Was it Western Kentucky? Either way, then they shock Purdue in the Sweet 16, which is basically what this is. Like they shock Purdue in the Sweet 16. It's like, oh, watch out, North Carolina. And then North Carolina beat them by like 50. And that's what's about to happen to Evansville, courtesy of the Vols. So I'm afraid we're not going to have a lot of drama this weekend. They do have an ace. He's a freshman, but he is a legit ace. And that's, you know, Evansville's hope is that he gives them one.
Right.
And then the Vols completely choke. I mean, that's their hope.
You're hyping them up a lot this week.
What? Well, they're the number one team in the country.
They will not lose a single game the entire postseason.
Well, I didn't say
that. They will not lose in Omaha. They will go undefeated the whole time.
I did not say that. I said they will not lose on the way to Omaha, which, I mean, if anybody wants to throw some cash into the, we can get that going.
Direct your emails to Joe Rexroad. Ball Twitter.
It's just this Chase Burns thing, that still kills me. Like, come on.
Yeah,
man.
I was looking forward to that.
I mean, at least get to, like, the regional final and have us. I mean, that's very disappointing.
So we'll get back into that more later in the program with Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. So the Titans back on the field this week for mandatory minicamp. And one of the questions I have beyond the, hey, who's going to be out there, who has been injured that could be participating, who's still going to be injured and not participating, all that stuff. At what point are the Titans or anybody else going to kind of enter into that second wave of free agency, right? There are still some pretty interesting names out there. We've talked about the Tannehill part of this. He's still out there and available. Now, that has nothing to do with the Titans because he's not going to be here with the Titans, but Hunter Renfrow is out there. Michael Thomas is out there. Xavien Howard, former cornerback of Miami, is out there. Stephon Gilmore, Adore Jackson, still out there. And then at the position I think that really intrigues me from the Titans' point of view is safety. Justin Simmons is out there. Qu'Adre Diggs is still out there. And Marcus May is still out there as well. I think most people feel like the Titans are going to put their names in the hat for one of those guys at the safety position. It has not happened for them anywhere around the league yet. We are after June 1st at this point as well. So the June 1st cuts have all, to this point, may take place around the rest of the league. What do we make of specifically safety, where things stand from that position, and when you think not only the Titans, but some other teams around the league could get involved with some of these established veteran safeties that have been around the league for a while and have been really good players for a while?
Yeah, like all three guys you listed, I expect to get signed, unless there's something we don't know about
right.
with any of them. As far as I know, healthy, able to play, yes, older, certainly coming at a discount. You know, what's Simmons? He's 31.
Correct.
Of those, I mean, I think I like Simmons the best, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've compared Simmons, Diggs, May film. By the way,
Jamal Adams out there too. So there's that.
Yeah, gosh. It's funny because Jamal Adams, of course, some people in the Titans organization wanted the Titans to take him when they took Corey Davis, which would have been interesting. Adams and Kevin Byard together for a few years when Jamal Adams prime would have been interesting. And you mentioned the other guy that they could have taken, and now I've already lost his
– May or Diggs?
No, you just mentioned somebody that was also – a Titans possibility. Oh, Xavien Howard. Howard was okay. John Robinson's.
Sorry, I was thinking safety.
Preference, you know, but then he was off the board right before Derrick Henry. If he wasn't off the board, Derrick Henry never would have been a Titan. Xavien Howard would have been a cornerback here. Xavien Howard.
It's wild.
And Jamal Adams. I don't know. Think about that. That secondary, I mean, for people who can think back to back then when they had, Parrish Cox and whatnot at cornerback. But
good times in Titans land.
Yes, yes. You know, how many teams are like this? Is another piece of information I don't have, and frankly, I will not do the research to tell you. But if you want to do it for me, that'd be great. How many teams have safety situations that are as lacking in proven players as the Titans? Because, you know, Molden is in there, and, you know, Griffin, I mean, they got some guys, and I know TD liked one of the young guys too, but they, to me, really need a veteran back there. It seems like it's screaming for a veteran presence, especially, you know, because, look, Monty Hooker has had a hard time doing full seasons.
Yep.
You know, he's a terrific player and leader, but he has been banged up a lot. So to me, like, you have to bolster that with one of those guys. Don't know which one. And that's the question, is like, so how much competition will there be for those guys? I have to think some, but I also would have to think that the Titans would be motivated enough to pay enough to get one of them.
Well, and the interesting part, too, you mentioned pay enough, and I'm with you, but how much is that going to be? You know, given how, quote-unquote, late we are in the process, but also that position, right? Like, we've talked about a lot of positions around the league that are rapidly increasing in value. I don't know that safety is one of those. Like, safety, they paid Kevin Byard a lot of money, and then it's pretty clear one of the first things that Rand Carthon did when he came in the building was like, huh, man, a lot of money for a safety, huh?
And safety and running back.
Safety and running back. Yeah. And now both those guys are gone for different reasons, obviously, but both those guys are gone. So how much money is Rand Carthon willing to kind of dole out to the safety position? And at this point, with any one of those guys that we just mentioned, how much money are they going to command on the open market, given the fact that all of them are still available and have been available for some time in this process? I'm really interested to see, not just with the Titans, but with all these guys land somewhere, because I think they will. All these guys are going to land somewhere. What does the money look like with these players that have been, like I said, really, for the most part, pretty good established players in the league?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a lot. So Simmons was going to count $14.5 million against the cap this year. Last year, a 4-year, $61 million deal. Like, I mean, what did the Titans sign? I know it's been a few years, so obviously there's inflation, but Kenny Vaccaro, what was that? I mean, that was like, and you're talking about with Kenny Vaccaro, you're talking about a different situation. He's a little bit younger. He was a former first round pick out of Texas. He had been a little bit disappointing, but that turned out to be that. That's what you want to find is like the guy like that who it just doesn't work out in a certain system or a certain place. And now, of course, they did re-sign him after – so they signed him in 2018. I think it was like $2 million. I'm like, it was like super cheap. Now, then he was so good that year, they went 4-year, $26 million with him after that, you know. So he had the 1-year approved. And that's what I think it's going to be for Justin Simmons. But the thing is, I mean, like – and again, I keep going back to Simmons. It doesn't have to be him. But they're all right around the early 30s, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like you can play. You can have that 1-year prove it deal, but at their age, I think it's still going to be tough. Whereas Vaccaro was still young enough to still get another solid deal in there.
They signed him, by the way, in 2018 for a 1-year, $1.5 million deal.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. That actually wasn't too wrong. So, I mean, Simmons, like $3 million, $4 million. I mean, I don't know. You may have to go a little bit beyond just like the $1.5-2 million mark to get a guy like
but
that.
But like that's the thing. Think about, let's say they pull that off, and we'll get more into this on the other side coming here. But let's say they pull that off for one of these guys, and it's like 1 year for $5 million or 1 year for $6 million. Think about that deal and the Tyler Boyd deal, like the just cheap amount of money you're paying him. That's some good work done for guys that have been in the league that have been really good players.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Tyler Boyd is not CeeDee Lamb out there or anything, right? Everybody knows that. But for that rate, when I saw the money that he signed for, I was blown away. I was like, really? That's what the Titans got him for.
Yeah.
Could end up being really, really good.
That's a tremendous value. Unless, again, there's something we don't know, but yeah. Looks good running around out there to me. Whatever that's worth.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, our phone number. When could we see more activity for the Titans in the free agent market? We'll take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Tuesday morning. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency. Still some interesting names out there on the free agent list. We went through some of them. Especially at the safety position that I think you look out for the Titans. Are there any other positions that you look at, Joe, on the Titans roster where you say, yeah, they could probably still look to add there in free agency? I'm looking at tight end right now, and it's not great options that are available. I mean, we could go back to the Jeff Swaim route. He's still out there. Still out there and available.
Wow, legend.
Jeff Swaim's still available. It's listing Jimmy Graham available, who's like 1,000 years old. I think he's actually 38, but we'll see.
Wow, Jimmy Graham. No kidding.
I don't think that's going to happen. Well, options are not great at the tight end position. So I think there are people that look at the offensive side of the ball and say, well, tight end's really one position that they didn't address all that much in the offseason. Could they look to do that with a veteran player? And you've got Mercedes Lewis at the age of 40,
whew.
Jeff Swaim, and that's about it. When you look at the rest of the list, so I don't expect a tight end signing for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, tight end, D line. I mean, I think always D line. You could look around. I mean, you know, there's how are guys like, you know, we know that Condre Coburn, there's an increased value because of his relationship with Tavondre Sweat. But
yep.
How does a guy like Quentin Bohanna? You know, you got Marlon Davidson in there. How do these guys compared to some of the other guys who are out there? I mean, you can see some churn there potentially. Tight end, I mean, I think that we're going to find out if 24-year-old Iowa rookie Steven Stylianos is ready to be a player in this league.
Yeah.
Iowa tight ends.
Good track record.
They're like Penn State linebackers in the 80s. They just, you know, sign them up whenever you can. 6'5", 251, 24 years old. Sure. Played at Iowa. I mean, say whatever you want about Kirk Ferentz and the eye damage he did to me in that bowl game a few months ago, I still hold a grudge. But that guy for a long time has churned out O-linemen, D-linemen, tight ends who can come into the NFL and be solid at least.
Yeah.
Shout out to Carl Klug.
Yeah, buddy.
So I think that's a big thing is like how is he – they also have – because it's other than that, it's Chig and Wiley. It's a second-year guy and a third-year guy. And then you got Thomas Odukoya, who's here on the international player, and I think, you know, like he's like exempt. And he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
I mean, 6'6", 253, athletic. Maybe at some point
– we talked about him a lot last preseason.
Yeah. Yep. Great story, you know. But Stylianos, to me, is the key. Can he get in there and get on the field and help you? I do like what I've seen from Wiley. Again, grain of salt, huge grain of salt, everything – that you observe in the field now and in camp. Just last year was one of those, don't touch the stove, it's too hot, you know, and you still touched it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, crap, they're not good. But I like Josh Wiley. I like how he looks out there. He's got to stay healthy. I think he could be a nice piece for the Titans this year.
What about at edge rusher? Because obviously that would be another place that you could point to on the Titans roster and say, you know, they need some help there. There's some additions that you could potentially make there. There are some intriguing names that are still out there. Like, you know, Yannick Ngakoue is out there. He's been – we've talked about him before. He's been on a whole lot of different teams,
yes,
which has always been very interesting to me because if you look at just straight up his production for the most part in his career, it's been pretty good. It's not like he's overly old, like he's 29. So it's an interesting name. But again, he keeps bouncing around left and right. So what does that mean in terms of why he hasn't really stuck anywhere yet to this point? I mean, you know, you got Marcus Golden that's out there that's a little older at this point. So there's not a ton of great options for you, but edge rusher is another position you could look at and say, huh, what could that be? Could the Titans maybe look at something there? You know, I remember when Carl Lawson was scheduled to become a free agent, and he signed with the Jets for $15 million a year or whatever it was. Did not live up to that, but he's out there and available too. So some names that are kind of, you know, on the bargain basement part of it that maybe you could get in on a cheaper deal to come in on a prove-it deal, especially like in the case of Ngakoue. But not a ton of great options on the edge rusher front either.
Yeah, I think with that, it's sort of the same thing as tight end, which is you've got some – with tight end, it's really like it's – well, it's not just one. I guess you're counting Wiley too. I mean, all those guys are kind of prove-it years at different degrees, but you hope you have some young guys rising to the occasion. So, I don't know, is Caleb Murphy, after the offseason he had, does he have any chance to be a factor? Obviously, astounding production at a lower level in college, you know, showed some things last year. They did draft Jalen Harrell from Michigan, and you know, he was a good player in college. He was on a loaded defense, you know. So what? How does that look? I mean, but Harrell and Murphy in there. There's also, by the way, there's Thomas Rush, great name, for the position. But then, of course, you got your Landry Key Weaver. So I mean, I think if there was a good option out there, yes. Are any of those guys I just mentioned ready to at least step up and be the fourth guy? Is, you know, with Weaver and Key, there's questions with both, right?
Yes, for sure.
Now Key apparently has all mistakes corrected.
So, I mean, he's ready to go.
So that is a good thing for him. But it definitely looks light. It looks light there, and it looks light on the options.
It does.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be they need somebody here to kind of emerge.
Ngakoue has been in the league since 2016. He has been on Jacksonville, Baltimore, Chicago, Indianapolis, the Raiders, and Minnesota. Six teams.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And it's like, it's like I've never heard anything bad about Yannick Ngakoue. He's been a good player. You know, a few years ago, he was a better player. But why is that?
I don't know. I mean, his production has fallen off. I mean, he played 13 games last year with Chicago and had 4 sacks. So it's not, you know.
It's going the wrong way.
In 2021, he had 10 sacks. 2022, he had 9.5. Last year, it's starting to go the other way. So was that a product of, I mean, clearly there were injury problems. They only played 13 games, and he played for the Chicago Bears. So there's that too. So could he have a nice rebound season somewhere else and give somebody 6 or 7 sacks? That would be the question I would ask if I'm the Titans or anybody else.
Yeah, it's certainly worth exploring. But the trend isn't great.
It's not.
So, the depth of the investigation on a guy like him does have something to do with what you think of some of these young guys. But, you know, how can you really expect production, you know, from a Murphy, a Harrell? I mean, that's a lot. You're needing Harold Landry to be great, and you're needing, well, you need Arden Key also. Arden Key has to be what at times he looked like last year, which is a good situational rusher who can really, you know, get you 6 to 8 sacks, something like that. That would help a lot. And then Rashad Weaver.
Preferably all, not all in like 2 games.
Exactly. Like kind of spread it out a little bit. And Rashad Weaver, it's a big year for him. I've said this before, grain of salt. Rashad Weaver definitely looks like he has slimmed down, which is probably a good thing for him.
Probably so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on Titans free agency. More of your reaction to Justin Jefferson's big contract as well from yesterday, which leads to a couple other big questions around the league that we'll get to as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at musiccitygp.com. as the Racing Station 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June the 16th. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rowe taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Mark in Ashland City on the text line. Titans signed a blocking tight end, Nick Vanette. I think they're done. I feel like they'll only keep three in favor of more wide receivers. You think they'll only keep three tight ends?
It's possible. I would always guess at least four. But, so Vanette, 31. He's been with some different teams. Former Buck guy, 31 years old. It's interesting. He's not on the roster right now for the Titans. I don't know why that is. It looks like it's an updated version of the roster at TennesseeTitans.com. But Vanette's not on the roster. But that is a good point. That is definitely a reported signing. So, again, I think any Iowa tight end, I'm intrigued by. But, look, it's going to be on the field. It's going to be Chig and Wiley heavily. Got to have those guys be healthy. And also I do think that this team will – I think is going to be an 11 personnel, three wide receivers, a lot. So there's a little bit of a de-emphasis, I guess, on tight end, but we'll see. And we'll see how it goes. Look, Chig, what if Chig breaks out? What if Chig has the year this year as the performance this year that he was supposed to have last year? I mean, I do think there's definitely still talent and potential there.
For sure. Ed on the text line says, if quarterbacks took 12-step drops, Ngakoue would have 20 sacks. He's the king of the flyby. The king of the flyby.
Interesting.
I like that.
20-step. Okay. So in other words, outside rush without a counter to
Joe Milton ever gets inside. In and has to really just run backwards to throw the ball.
That's the
thing.
They
do play the Patriots.
Just get, that's the thing. Just like long snap it to Joe,
And then have, if you're the Titans, Ngakoue rushing him, it'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
The king of the flyby.
King of the flyby.
I like it. What were your thoughts? 615-737-1025. So we discussed Justin Jefferson's huge deal yesterday. 4 years, $140 million, $110 million guaranteed, $35 million per year. And then at the receiver front, the question is, what's next? CeeDee Lamb is due for a new contract. Ja'Marr Chase is due for a new contract. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase's teammate, T. Higgins, is due for a new contract. So what all is that going to look like? The Lamb part of this is interesting because we went through his numbers yesterday. It's really good. I mean, in some ways, it's comparable to Justin Jefferson. But that situation down there with Dak Prescott, he's eligible for a contract extension too. He's not gotten one to this point. It doesn't look like there's much momentum that he's going to get one before the season starts here. You know, it was funny for him because he played – I mean, there was talk about him being in the MVP conversation last year. And then the playoff game came around against Green Bay, and he wasn't very good. Their defense gave up 1,000 points in that game to Jordan Love, and it was the same story at the end of the year of, yep, Cowboys, good regular season, disappointing in the end of the postseason. You've got Mike McCarthy kind of on his last leg down there. Lamb, you feel great about, but the quarterback part of this at Dak Prescott, I'm very interested to see how that plays out this year and what that looks like.
Yeah, look, it's a lot of money, but it's just do you want to go back in to wander around looking for a quarterback? It's like a lot of teams, like the Lions just signed Jared Goff. I mean, they obviously just went to the NFC Championship game, so there's a lot of momentum there. But is Jared Goff better than Dak Prescott? Trevor Lawrence. There's so many quarterbacks they may be on different tiers, and you can think whatever you want. Some people, I think a little more of Dak than I do. I see some lists that have him like top five, six in the league. I don't think he's that good, but he's pretty good. You can do way worse than Dak Prescott, and I don't really think he's the issue. I know 2 years ago he had the interceptions, so that was strange. But, for the most part, his performance last year, and it's not like it was bad in the playoff game, as I recall.
He threw a couple picks.
He threw one pick kind of earlier in the game that was key as the Packers were building that lead. So, but, it's – if you want to get back into that life of searching for a quarterback, you can. You just look at how many of them are just tested out and discarded right away. I can't even keep track of it. Okay, Mac Jones, hey, it's right. He's with the Jags. He's over there doing drills with the Jags. Where the heck, where's Kenny Pickett? Where the heck can Kenny Pickett go?
Philadelphia.
He's with the Eagles. Yeah. Okay, there you go. He's with
backing
the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts.
Get a couple years, and not even like a couple years of fully starting, and you're out, you know? You're in a much better situation if you're the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott. But I get it. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not Josh Allen. So you could go into the desert again if you want.
I mean, last year he completed almost 70% of his passes, 69.5, threw for 4,500 yards, 36 touchdowns, 9 picks. And he had a really good year.
Yeah, and it's not like, again, that's a good team too.
Right,
terribly disappointing performance against your Packers.
It was.
When you got out
Jordan Love, I mean, it's hard to do.
Well, but seriously, though, like you, I mean, anybody who watched that game, they could not stop a runny nose.
No.
In that game, the Cowboys' defense completely collapsed in that game. And, I mean, the Packers, to their credit, took it to them. It just wasn't on Dak.
No. It wasn't just on him. But he is, like, he's a really good player. But I think the question they're asking there is he good enough for you to win a championship with?
I mean, I say yes.
I think
sure.
He is, but first off, that place is just a circus anyway, right? I mean, we've gone through the history of the Cowboys over the last two decades here. I mean, the playoff success is just not there.
Right.
So
it's a real shame.
It really is. But like, he's in that category. He's a little bit different because he's a little bit older, right? But Lawrence, like Trevor Lawrence, was talking about his contract yesterday about how he feels like that's going to end up taking care of itself and all that stuff. You got Tua in Miami. You know, we've talked about a lot of these guys, but these teams like the Cowboys and the Jags and the Dolphins that are in pretty good quarterback situations, but maybe not great quarterback situations. Like, it's really interesting to see the way they're going to operate. I mean, heck, the Titans did that for a while, right? Like, they were in a good quarterback situation with Ryan Tannehill. They weren't in an elite quarterback situation with him. And everybody's looking at Mahomes and saying, well, they've won 3 championships in the last 6 years or whatever it's been. And you're looking at Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and these elite guys. And it's not as simple as, well, your quarterback has to be better than the other quarterback. But that's the tough spot to be in of, we feel like our quarterback's pretty good, but he may not be great. And how do you go about building a winner in the postseason if that's the case?
Yeah, well, if you're only settling for the quarterback who in a one-on-one QB skills competition beats Patrick Mahomes, then good luck. You're going to have a lot of crappy quarterbacks in there. I mean, you asked the question, is he good enough to win it? Absolutely. And I know I always go back to the same examples, but there have been subpar quarterbacks who have certainly even gotten – I mean, I think about like Rex Grossman getting the Super Bowl. That's an all-timer right there, man. Whew. Go Rex Grossman. But, yeah, of course he's good enough. But you got to have the right situation around him. There's definitely the question of, like, will he perform the very best in those moments? And that's fair. But, again, I go back to, man, it's so much easier to do worse. And it's not easy to do, like, a lot better than him. I mean, there's a handful of guys. And maybe not even a handful of guys. Like, Justin Herbert is, like, I would say more talented than Dak Prescott. But we've talked about him, too.
Yeah.
You know? So, with all these guys, I'd probably, for the most part, default to when you find yourself a good quarterback, those numbers aren't fake numbers. You know, I'd pay him. But it also comes down to, I mean, there's some things that we don't know. Like, I mean, it seems like he's a good leader and all that stuff, right? And teammates like him. I mean, those are things that matter, of course. As long as all that's fine, I think I'm paying him.
And this is going to be an interesting case study, too, here, if you're the Titans kind of looking at these guys. Because the odds of Will Levis being terrible, I don't think are pretty high. The odds of him being an elite quarterback, I also don't think are pretty high. Like, he's probably going to be somewhere in the middle, which could end up being a good player and maybe a good enough player where if you surround him with the right pieces, you can compete for a championship. But like Tua, I think, is a good player. Trevor Lawrence, to this point in his career, has been a good player. Dak's a good player. Like, it's going to be an interesting case study in the league over the next few years here of some of these quarterbacks that are not elite but are pretty good, making an absurd amount of money, what that's going to look like in terms of how you build out your roster. And, like, if you're the Titans, as you're trying to inform what your decision is on Will Levis, let's say he plays out and he's pretty good and he's not great. He's still probably going to get paid a ton of money at that point. Like, that's what the NFL is right now. So, I'm interested to see how this kind of goes here at the quarterback position when you don't have the top crust upper echelon elite guys.
Yeah, well, this is where the cap, which is real. The cap is real. But also it's like, yeah, it keeps going up. And you can pay a quarterback. Obviously, it's great to be in a situation now. If the Titans could get really good and he was really good, it's a great advantage.
Yeah.
During that time period. And we've seen, you know, you think about, I mean, that to me, like the Seahawks are a great example of a team that was able to load up around cheap Russell Wilson. But you can pay a quarterback and still pay other good players and you're going to be fine. So I just think it's trending toward, obviously it's trending toward quick evaluations of quarterbacks and move on for teams that don't have anything, right?
Yeah.
But I think the teams that have those middle of the pack and up guys, I think the smart move is to hold on. Now, then you have the teams like the Browns who can't do anything anyway, and they're right. Just like, please be good, Deshaun. Please be good. But I think if you have one of these guys, you know, it's just, it can be so much worse, and you can just be in the situation that a lot of these teams are now. I mean, the Steelers are sitting there, you know, Russ and Fields, and I don't know, Fields going to return kicks,
yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to be there.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans and all things NFL coming up next. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get into a little college football coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Some interesting reaction to some stuff released by ESPN yesterday. So we'll get into all that. College football right around the corner, as is the NFL. I was out over the weekend, and one of my buddies looked at me and said, "Hey, man, only 12 more Saturdays until college football." I was like, "Yeah, that's good. 12 more, huh?"
12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said right around the corner. I'm like, yeah, it's a long corner.
It's a long corner. But I guess we're getting closer each and every day. We're getting closer.
You got Stanley Cup Finals, you got NBA Finals,
yeah.
College World Series, and then, like, the most exciting thing for a while is, like, SEC Media Days and stuff like that. But, you know, it'll be okay.
Mike on the text line says, Rex Grossman won a Super Bowl, but Prescott cannot, Josh Allen cannot, Joe Burrow cannot, Justin Herbert cannot. All subpar Ryan Tannehill-type quarterbacks. And follows that up with, you really don't know much about football at all, do you? Thank you, Mike.
He did say he was talked to text, which doesn't always understand his accent, which is the accent of a football genius. But he just meant that Rex Grossman went to a Super Bowl. Yeah. Look, man, if your whole thing is Dak Prescott and Josh Allen just suck, Joe Burrow can't, those guys can't, and then you go with, you don't
know anything
about
football. The Burrow one is interesting. Like, have we not watched Joe Burrow? Like, Joe Burrow has been hurt too much. I will grant you that, but when he's been on the field, it's been pretty darn good.
I think the same thing about Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen took his team to the Super Bowl. He went into the sideline. There were 13 freaking seconds left. How the hell he didn't go to the Super Bowl is sure as hell not on him, Mike. But, hey, tell us more about football.
Well, he would have had to go through Burrow after that, but that's true.
That's right. Yeah, well, he would have beat him.
Your point is, well, yeah. Like,
he had Mahomes.
He did
beat.
Everything that he could do.
Because I assume, Mike, you do think that Patrick Mahomes can win a Super Bowl, right? Do you believe he can win a Super Bowl?
Well, this sounds like it's
can
just
anybody
like,
does well, anybody not suck?
They haven't gotten around Mahomes yet, so it must mean they're not good enough to do it. It's like, well, if that's your standard, then sure. There's
everybody sucks. Everybody sucks.
He's really, really good, you know. I don't really buy into that. Which, by the way, Burrow has gotten around Mahomes one time.
So. He did.
And almost twice. So.
And he did. Almost. Yeah, that's right. But that is funny that you – maybe I don't know anything about football. In my mind, that was
the AFC Championship game.
But it actually wasn't. gosh.
It may be the greatest playoff game I've ever seen.
But
it's
like,
up there.
But also, how Buffalo? Again, that's just like what we were talking about with Dak. It's different. But, I mean, Dak's just standing there saying, can we, like, not give up 14 yards per play to the Packers today? Is that possible? Like, can we have one positive defensive play against the Packers?
Didn't happen much.
But let's put it on the QB. Too much credit, too much blame. That's a common issue in football.
I still want, it's not the same thing because there are a lot of positives that go with both of these situations. But, like, I view the Toronto Maple Leafs as kind of like the Cowboys of hockey.
That's a good comparison.
There's just so much. There's so much attention, obviously. They have a gigantic fan base in both instances. But there's also so much toxicity around them that, like, sometimes I wonder how detrimental that is to their actual success, right? Like, regardless of who the quarterback has been, regardless of who the coach has been, it's been the same story for the Cowboys for 30 years at this point. They just cannot, for the life of them, break through in the postseason, no matter how good they are in the regular season. It's crazy.
I think that there's definitely something to the – and it's intensified for everyone. So, but still, like, in this era with what you talked about, which already was total fishbowl situation, I think there's probably something to that. And there's also, it's different, though. Like with the Cowboys, I think there's also the meddling reactionary owner, too, right?
Yeah.
But, look, they've built some pretty good teams here and just haven't been able to figure it out for whatever reason.
Mike continuing on the text line saying the standard is winning championships and talking about how McNair took his team to the Super Bowl. Burrow was beaten by the Rams in the Super Bowl, so the standard is winning a championship. It's like, well, just because, like, this is one of my pet peeves in sports. Like, do we think Connor McDavid is capable of winning a championship?
Yes.
He hadn't done it yet.
I would say so. That's true.
Yeah.
He hasn't.
Do we think Joe Burrow is capable of winning a championship? He hadn't done it yet.
I would say yes.
I'd say he probably is. Like, this idea that, well, they haven't done it, so they can't do it. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredibly stupid.
Yes. It is. And also, again, like, Dak and Josh Allen both suck. I mean, that's how Mike started. So for the rest of, like, all the texts, I'm like, I'm looking at this with a little bit. I don't know, man. I don't know. Might be a little bit. Yes, of course, the standard is winning championships. There's a lot that goes into winning championships. And, again, Brad Johnson has quarterbacked a team to a championship. Trent Dilfer has quarterbacked a team to a championship.
Do you think those guys are better
legendary
than Joe Burrow?
Quarterbacks. Right. Exactly.
It's like, come on, man.
The team, that's another, like, the team sport
Nick
aspect.
Foles is better.
Yeah, Nick Foles.
He's just as good as Aaron Rodgers. Both have one Super Bowl title.
Nick Foles, like, his performance in that postseason was like, that was Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, it was.
And he wasn't very good. I'm sorry. But
it's kind of what it is.
It's a team sport. Team sport, Mike.
It's a team sport, Mike. That's the conversation at large, though. It's not just in the NFL. Like, there's a big basketball part of this, too. Like, well, Charles Barkley was good, but he never won a championship. It's like, well, do you not think Charles Barkley was a good enough player to win a championship at the NBA level? I know that he didn't do it, but.
Shoulda. 1993.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's where I'm with you. Like, sometimes I think you take it a little bit too far with the Brady discussion. But it's not just about ring counting. If that's all we're doing, then we're not – you got to watch the game. You got to watch people play, right? Like, there are plenty of players right now, pick a league, that are good enough to win championships, good enough to be leading players on championship teams that have not yet done it to this point.
Yes, it is possible in the future. And, yes, it was possible for Charles. And, hey, good for Jordan. He kept throwing it to the corner and, Paxson kept hitting threes, and they beat the Suns. They shouldn't have. A different Michael in Madison says, Dak is the most overrated QB in the league, inflates his stats against bad teams by getting to play bottom-of-the-barrel teams six times a year. Yeah, I think you could go back through last season and find tremendous numbers and performances against good teams, too. I guess we can go through the game by game. Look, no one. I don't think we're sitting here saying like Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. Like I said, no, you know, people who put him in the top five or six, I think that's a little high. But you know, he is very good, and I would pay him. I would pay him. So just because I don't, the alternative is can last for a long time once you start getting into that search for a QB.
Yeah, no question about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Another point made by the receivers on the text line of, man, if all these receivers keep getting paid, that Calvin Ridley contract going to look pretty good. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. The $23 million per year annual average value, I think it's now 14th in the league. Mike Herndon put that out there. So let's say Lamb gets another contract. Jamar Chase gets another contract, that Calvin Ridley is going to continue to slide down the scale.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure he knew that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
These guys are coming up on these deals, and they are at the top, you know, of the heap there. So, yeah, it'll be interesting too. You know, I am very interested to see if those guys do get incrementally more than Jefferson, or if he, you know, keeps the top spot, because I do believe he's the best of those guys. But, yeah, Ridley's contract will look good. It actually reminds me of, since people are bringing Tannehill up again, Tannehill, you know, in that deal when he signed it, and all of a sudden, not long later, because he was still good,
yeah,
he was like, wow, that looks good. Mike says, Tannehill took the Titans to the championship game. Is he a great one of the great ones, just like Joe Burrow in that? I don't know. The talk to text isn't working
out
for
you. We got to stop the top.
Again, Mike, that's what the whole point we're making. Like, Rex Grossman has taken a team to the Super Bowl, so it's not a direct correlation of this is how great of a quarterback you are because your team did this. Like, that's the original point that was missed.
Yes. Do you think Brock Purdy is better than Josh Allen?
No.
Brock Purdy's been to the Super Bowl.
But Brock Purdy.
Josh Allen hasn't.
Brock Purdy is a fantastic, maybe the ultimate example of, although some people are to me, like, overboard on how good he is. I think he's good.
He's good. He's a good player.
Absolutely good.
Is there a person in the league that if you lined up Josh Allen and Brock Purdy next to each other would take Purdy over Josh Allen? My answer is probably no.
Is there a person in the league? Maybe, but not many.
Yeah.
And that person, I think, would be making a mistake.
But he's been to the Super Bowl.
That's true. You are right.
Isn't that what we judge
them by? And some people would say that's my criteria. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Let me know how that works out for
you. All kinds of folks in this league.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into some college football coming up next. Some love from the Vols yesterday from ESPN, and some coaches in the SEC that are maybe saying, eh, not so fast. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.